and so it's labeled.
Okay. So we are holding. So we are holding on Chof Tes Amar Aleph, 9 lines from the top. Line begins with Hadri. Right about opposite where it says Ad Kan Pirush Rashi itself. Okay, we're in the middle of trying to figure out like this. Yes. So there is this concept that we've started the parak with, the concept that if you've been using a property continuously for 3 years, eating the payers of it or whatever, then you have a chazak on it, you have a reason why you're there in the first place, such as you bought it, is enough to establish that you own the place against an opposing claim that might say, yeah, but I used to own it or whatever. Okay. So we're in the middle of trying to figure out why dafka 3 years. We went through yesterday, we had Rabbi Shmuel, we had Hoche Usha, which we eventually said is Rabbi Shmuel's position, that we learned it from Shor Amua, there were 3 times, here was 3 years. Then we went, according to the other opinion, according to the Rabbanon, we had Rabbi Yosef bringing a pasuk from Yirmiyah, and then we have, we slugged that up, we said Yirmiyah is not necessarily teaching a halacha, he's telling us Eitz HaTova. So we started going through some possibilities that Rava said.
We don't have a definite conclusion as to the reason why we need a Taina.
No, you definitely need a Taina, because without it, you need a Taina, yeah.
The reason
we said yesterday, the reason you need a Taina is just logical, because without a Taina, what's your Chazaka accomplishing? Your Chazaka just means you've been there for 3 years, very nice, but if you don't have a valid claim, remember, the other guy has to also have some kind of proof that he once owned the place. Mm-hmm. We'll see that later on as we go through the Gemara. He himself needs Edim or some other proof that he once owned the place. If against that, all you have is Chazaka, that's not really worth much.
Right.
Okay.
So we never went into what if someone has no claim, and the other guy also has no claim. Then the guy who's living
then the guy who's there. Well, fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll see such cases.
Yeah.
We'll see such cases okay. later. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so we started. Rabba said yesterday that maybe the first 2 years a person is willing to be moichel, the third year not. But we said in that case that doesn't work because we find if we do end up saying the guy didn't have a chazaka, he does have to return all the payers he ate even during those 2 years, implying that the guy wasn't moichel on him. So that's where we're holding. Ella Amar Rabba, 9 lines from the top. Ella Amar Rabba. No, here's the reason. Shata kamaisa lekotidinish. Let's say as follows. The first year that somebody else is squatting in his field or whatever, a person is not necessarily going to be makbid on it. He's not going to be objecting to it so much. Tauti lekotid, 2 years also, he's not going to be so makbid on. Plus kotid, once it comes 3 years, the guy is already 3 times, he's doing the same thing. Shilish bi balte, the Rashbam says, like 3 times he's doing the same wrong thing, to go in without Rishus HaBailim. Then at that point, you would expect the person is going to be machbir, and if the other guy is not machbir, he's not going to be moicha. He must have sold it to him. Omalei Abaya Elameata. If you're going to go based on whether the guy is machbir, you're going to hani debay baro yoshiv. What about consider the case of the family of baro yoshiv? They're a rich family. They appear in a number of places in Shas. Dekapi afilu aman decholof ametzredidhu. They are so machbir that even if somebody walks on the border of their property, on that border, that berm that we've learned about before, that you have like this raised mound of dirt along the length of the field, people often use it as a shortcut. If somebody even walks through that, they're machbir on.
Did they shoot him? What
they no, they just they would probably yell at him, whatever. We learned in Bava Kama, we have the expression knock at Pazer of Yosef, that somebody can sit there with a stick and then beat off any people who come. Yeah. So by that logic, you're saying if you were machzik in some field that belongs to Dvei Baro Yoshev, then immediately, if they're not machzik right away, it shows as a chazaka. And you're going to answer, maybe taka azoi. Can't. In that case, then you're making it dependent on different people. Now, the Rashba points out, obviously, the Gemara could have easily answered, okay, look, Dvei Baro Yoshev is way out, you know, they're an outlier. You can't go based on outliers. You go according to the Roy. But he says the point of the Gemara is fine, but not necessarily do we say that most people wait for 3 years to be machbid either. Fine, most people are not so quick on the trigger like Dvei Baro Yoshev, but most people are not so patient as to wait 3 years either. Why are we at this Kaveya 3 years of all things? Ella Amar Rava. No, let's try like this. Shata Kamaisa.
It's not about being lucky.
Right. So let's go as follows. Shata Kamaisa Mizdar Inish Bishtore. For the first year, we can expect that the new owner, the Maxif we're talking about, is going to be careful with his shtar. Tauti Utlas Mizdahar. For the second and third year, he's also going to be careful not to lose it or whatever. Tvela Mizdahar. After that, he's not expected to be careful with his shtar anymore. He figures already at this point, nobody has been moichel all this time. It's not so important for him to keep the shtar. Now, Mefarshim get into the interesting question in this connection. Fine, but how do we say though that the chazaka stands in place of a shtar? What's the mechanism by which that works? So there's a bunch of different explanations among the Rishonim, a bunch of different interesting explanations. The Ritva starts by saying like this. He says, look, in general, when somebody is mochzik in something, look, with metaltalin, we don't say you need a shtar. With metaltalin, we assume whatever metaltalin you have in your possession, the pastures belong to you unless we have reason to think otherwise. Really, with a field, it ought to be the same thing. You shouldn't even need 3 years. Elamai, the problem is that, on the other hand, fields are sold with a shtar usually. If you don't have a shtar, that weakens your chazaka. Fine, you're in possession of it. Why don't you have a shtar? After 3 years, when we don't expect that a person has his shtar anymore, then that restores the strength of his chazaka. That makes it that now the fact that he's in possession of it, that restores the strength of it and allows us to use that to override the Chezkas Marakama, the previous guy's chazaka that he once owned this field. That's the Ritva's position. Then there's after three years, that's what we're saying. Yeah, everybody is weak. After 3 years.
What's the reason it's after 3 years? Why would people?
That's what we're saying, because we're saying that given that a person usually doesn't keep their shtar after 3 years, the fact that after 3 years this guy does not have his shtar does not weaken his chazaka, does not weaken the chazaka that we can say the fact that usually what a person has in his possession is his. Up to 3 years, where people usually keep their shtaras, if he doesn't have his shtar, that weakens his chazaka. Fine, you have possession of the field. Why don't you have a shtar? After 3 years, that's not the case.
The equivalent.
Yes. That's the ritual. Then there's a lot of other explanations. A couple of Rishonim, the Rosh, it seems that Tosfos elsewhere holds the same kind of thing. They say that it's a takana de Rabbanan. That the Rabbanan made the takana. After 3 years, you don't need a shtar anymore. Chazaka is good enough. A variation on that, some of the Rishonim, I think the Rabbeinu Yonah says, for example, is that the Chacham made a takana. It's expected, the takana is the Ma'arer, the one who wants to claim the field as his, is expected to be Moicha sometime during those 3 years. If he failed to keep that takana Chachamim and be Moicha, tough luck on him. He lost things out for himself.
Knows about it.
Obviously, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're assuming that he knows about it. We're going to yet deal with cases where
he
doesn't.
We're assuming that he had a chance, and you can assume that he must have known.
Also true. Right. We'll get to that point. Yeah. What else is there? The Rashba gives a very interesting explanation. He says that, like this, given that the Ma'arer himself knows that people don't usually keep their shtaris more than 3 years, we have to ask ourselves, if he first comes after 3 years with a taina, we have to ask ourselves, why is he waiting 3 years to show up with his taina? You know what? He may be trying to play a trick over here. He may be figuring, look, I know after 3 years the guy probably threw away his shtar. Now I'm going to swoop in and claim. So there's the adarab, but the fact that he waits 3 years weakens the strength of his taina. Okay. Fine. But by your logic, then, if you're saying that depends on a person being careful with his shtar, you should argue that if the macha did not take place in his presence, it should not be a valid macha. Because why the machzik should be able to say, look, if you had made the macha in my presence, have him as the haran of a shtaroi, then I would have known to be careful with my shtar for more than 3 years. You didn't do it in my presence. So the Rashba teaches us what the Gemara means is, in other words, so I figured if you don't even have the guts to face me in court, then I figured you're stam hacking a chaynik, you're stam trying to make trouble over here. That's the point. That's what the Rashba says. Abaya knew the answer, which the Gemara is going to give now, that news will get around. But the Abaya thought that maybe the guy has the ability to argue, if you didn't even have the guts to face me in Beis Din, then obviously yours must not be a valid macha. You're stam doing it to hack a chaynik. And the answer is no. The answer is no. To Amale, because the other guy can answer, doesn't matter. Chavra chavra islay, b'chavra b'chavra chavra islay. Your friend has a friend. The friend of your friend has a friend. News of it will be expected to get back to you. I don't have to do it in your presence. I'm not obligated. I have the right to say I don't feel like facing you in Beis Din, and I'm just going to do it in some other Beis Din or whatever.
What did the main raise this?
Abai raised the question because you could think maybe the guy could argue that, but the answer is no. We would slog up that argument.
As we did yesterday.
Yeah. Fine. So now we've established the basis for the concept of Shalosh Shanim being Chazak. So it's not Kepeda. In the end, what we're saying is the fact that after 3 years, a person doesn't hold on to his shtar, and then the various explanations of the Rishonim, why therefore the Chazaka stands in place of the shtar. Now some dinim about this. Amar Avuna, Shalosh Shanim Sha'amru Hu Sha'achon Ritzufis. When we say that you have to have Chazaka 3 years, it has to be 3 consecutive years. So, for example, the Rashbam says, let's say, for example, he used the produce of it the first year, then he didn't do anything with it the second year, then he took the produce of it the third or the fourth year. That's not a chazakah. Because the other guy can say, look, the fact that you left it fallow, the fact that you left it empty, obviously you yourself admit that it's not yours, therefore you didn't use it like a normal person uses their field. Therefore I didn't feel it's necessary for me to make a machah, because obviously you yourself are...
You have to do the same thing for 3 years?
Yeah.
You cannot use it, let's say, the first year he plants, the second year...
We'll see some examples soon. Wait. Okay. The question is, my Kamash one. What's the Rabbonis Chiddush? Tanena. The Mishnah itself says, Chazakah and Shalosh Shanim Yom Leyon. It said, you have to have 3 years Chazakah from day to day. From day to day implies Lachorah consecutive. The answer is no. Ma'u Detema Miyom Leyon La'Pukim Bukutois. No, because you could argue that maybe Miyom Leyon just means you can't have less than 3 years. In other words, not like, for example, Rabbi Shmuel later on in the Mishnah in certain cases where he says 18 months is enough or 14 months according to Rabbi Akiva. It has to be actually 3 full calendar years, not just parts of years. But if it were not for the Rabbonis statement, you could think, fine, it does have to be 3 full years. However, they can still be scattered around. You can still have a year of 12 months. You can still have a year of 12 months Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Skip Tavshin Ayin Hey, do Ayin Vav and Ayin Zayin, and there's good enough. There's your 3 years.
No.
Kamash Malan, that is Rav Huna's Chiddush, that you need both. By the Mishnah saying, Miyoyim Liyoyim means it needs to be consecutive as well as it needs to be continuous. Amar Rav Chama, Umoyd Rav Huna Ba'asri de Moivri Bog. However, Rav Huna will agree that it does not need to be consecutive if it's a place, this is one answer to your question, in a place where people commonly leave the whole valley full of fields fallow. In other words, not necessarily in every, they don't necessarily plant the field every single year. In some places, what they do is they alternate. One year they plant, the next year they don't, because they want the ground to regain its fertility. And so forth, and they do like that.
It depends on Minhag HaMatzim.
So it depends. Well, wait. The question is Pshita. In that case, wouldn't it be obvious that you can do a chazaka like that? Yeah. The answer is Lo Tzricha De'ikah De'moiver Ve'ikah De'leimoiver. Yes, but Rav Chama's chiddush is that Rav Huna would agree, even if it's a case where not necessarily the entire valley, every single landowner in this town, in this valley, leaves their land fallow that year. What if it's a place where some do, some don't? Bahai Gavra Moivra. Now you have this particular Masit had left it fallow for alternate years, and now the other guy, the Ma'arer, is coming and claiming, look, you obviously didn't use it and you didn't fully use it, therefore you yourself are demonstrating that you yourself don't consider yourself the real owner of the place, therefore you don't have a chazaka. Ma'udetema Omale, so you would think maybe the Ma'arer can argue, im isididachavo, if it really was your field, Iboy Lachlamizra, you should have been planting it all those years. Like some people in this valley who also do the same thing. Kamash Mulan, that is the Chiddush, that no, we don't say that. Da'amalei, because the Machzik can answer back, I had a valid reason not to. I had a valid reason to follow the majority. Chada Arab Kule Boga Le'matzina Laminter. First of all, he can say, it's not worth guarding one field in an entire valley. Namely like this. Usually you have, when everybody in the valley, all the adjacent fields are all being worked and all being planted or whatever, so, for example, they all pitch in together. They all pool their money together and hire one watchman or a couple of watchmen or whatever. And he guards the whole area. Like this, if I'm the only one in this immediate area that's planting my field, then I would have to hire a watchman all by myself. It's not cost effective. Number two, also that Rashbam adds another detail also. When people plant their fields, then they know to keep animals out of them because they don't want their animals trampling. They don't want animals trampling the crop.
Right.
Like this, if I'm the only one planting in this area, everybody else is going to be bringing their animals into their fields because they're empty anyway. They may as well. I'm going to have to specially make sure to keep everybody's animals out of my field. I don't want that hassle. And the Inami, or another answer he can say, which this answer works even if, let's say, some of the immediately adjacent fields are planted, Because again, we're talking about some of the valley, they leave fallow and some they don't. But even if some of the adjacent ones are planted, still you can argue, b'hachi nichile, after all, this is better for me. I would rather leave it fallow, like most people, like many people in this area do, to avda tfei, because that way next year it'll produce more. The ground will have a chance to recuperate for a year. So if it's a place where nobody does that, then fine. You don't have the ability to say, I unilaterally decided to do that. But if it's a place where anyway, some people do that, then he has a valid,
even if it's not a majority.
Even if it's not a majority, then he has the ability to say that I decided to do it that way. What does it mean, though, by the way? Does it mean in the end, would he need 3 years? Would it mean that he needs three crops out of it, which means you'd need 6 years total? Or does it mean that all you need is 3 years total? Mm-hmm. So the Rashbam brings up that point. And the Rashbam and a couple of other Rishonim hold that, as a matter of fact, he will need 6 years. He will still need three harvests, three crops out of it. Now, the Rashbam does add one more detail. It does have to be, even though the guy is leaving it fallow, this also answers your question. The Rashbam holds he still has to be doing something with it during the fallow years. For example, plowing it. If he did nothing with it at all, yes, that can't be considered a valid chazaka. Most other Rishonim who do agree with the Rashbam's basic point that you need six years. Only the Ravan, one of the
six interim, meaning three harvests.
The Ravan, one of the Rishonim, holds not. He holds that the 3 years can include the fallow years as well. The detail that the Rashbam mentions, though, that you need to at least be doing something with that field during the fallow years, most of the other Rishonim and Poskim don't mention that, implying that they don't agree with
it. It's a double chumra, obviously.
According to the Rashbam, it would be a double chumra. Yeah.
And we don't go by double
chumra. Well, it's not a question, no. It's not a double chumra. According to the Rashbam, the fact is you do need to be doing something with it, but on the other hand, it's still not the total use of the field, and therefore you'd need both. Most of the other Rishonim agree you need 6 years. They don't agree you need to be doing anything with it during the off years. According to the Ravan, all you need is 3 years anyway.
The Ravan?
Ravan. Rav Yazid Rav Nosson, I think, one of the Baal Atreides. Okay. Okay. Onward. Okay. The Gemara says, Tinan, let's look at our Mishnah and see if we can make that fit with what Rav Huna is saying. The Mishnah started off Cheskes Abatim. You have to ask, Habatim to be Mama Yadi Belele Layadi. L'chura, when it comes to houses, people know, you're bringing Eidos, after all. In order to establish that you had a Chazakah on the property, you need Eidim that you were there.
Or a Shtar.
If you have a Shtar, then that's nothing to talk about. The whole point of a Chazakah is instead of a Shtar.
Right.
After 3 years, remember, you don't have your Shtar anymore because we expect that you lost it or whatever, and now you still need Eidim to substantiate that you were actually there. L'chura, the Eidim only know that you were there during the day in the house. They don't necessarily know you were there during the night, and yet we see it's a chazaka. So Mela, for example, the Rashbam says, Mela, for example, a field is taka only works by day, but precisely because it's only used by day, then therefore that's all you need a chazaka for, the days. Even Rapona is not going to say you need a chazaka that you did something with the field by night. But a house which is meant to be lived in by day and by night, shouldn't you need Eidim for the days and the nights as well?
Eidim?
Oh. Yeah. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, well, very simple. Man masid abatim. After all, who are you going to get as Eidim that you lived in a house? Shivavi. That'll be the neighbors. Well, Shivavi may de yadi be mamar v'leli. Well, may the neighbors do see that you're there day and night. They see you going in and out of the house in the day. They see that you're there with the light, and then you come in and turn out the lights and whatever. So they can validly give Eidos that you were there day and night. That can still work with Ravuna's position.
That
chazaka needs to be continuous during the 3 years.
Continuous.
Huh?
At least for Batim.
Yeah, well, for everything Ravona is saying. But the question was from Batim, so Lechora, how are you going to find Eidim for the night? Sabai says, very simple. The Eidim that you're going to find are people who live nearby who are going to know that you live there by day and by night.
Yeah. For a house, but yeah, for a field.
For a field, you don't need. For a field, even Ravona is going to agree you don't need anybody for the night because nobody works by night, right? Rava Omar, Rava gives a different answer. We're going to also Beit Shvei. Let's say, for example, you have the valid kind of Eidos for Chazaka of a house. Would be two people come as Eidos, Va'amri, and they say, Anana Grinamine, we rented the house from him. Because remember, Chazaka on a house doesn't have to be necessarily that you yourself live there. The Chazaka can just as well be, that you rented it out and are collecting the rent. So two people come and give Eidos. We lived in this house. We rented this house. And we ourselves are giving Eidos that we lived in this house day and night. They were valid Eidim also. However, Amalei Rav Yemir Lo Rav Ashi. Why is it that not so obvious? Wait. We're going to see it's not so obvious.
Can you notarize your own signature?
That's not the point. Amalei Rav Yemir Lo Rav Ashi, Hani Nergin Ve'edusanhen. What are you talking about? Rava's idea that two tenants are going to come and give edus. They themselves have a vested interest in giving edus on behalf of this guy claiming who they thought was the landlord that they've been paying him rent all this time. The Eli Amri Hachi, because if they were going to, his own tenants, right. In other words, like this, you have
room. The neighbors.
That was a biased answer. Now we're giving Rava's answer. Okay, you have like this, in other words. Reuben has been the muchzak of this house for 3 years.
Right.
Comes Shimon now after 3 years and says, this house is mine, you stole it from me, it wasn't validly sold to you, whatever his exact claim is. So, Reuben is saying, I didn't live in the house myself, however, I rented it out to Levi and Yehuda, I will bring them as edim, and they can testify that they've been living here day and night. The problem with that is, Rav Yema says, aren't they negeva dover? The Eli Amri Hachi, because if they're going to not say that, in fact, it belongs to, never mind being thrown out. Amrinan Lahu, hold on. Amrinan Lahu, Zulu Hobalei Aga Beis Lahai. What would Beis Din tell them? Look, it wasn't Reuben's house in the first place. The rent has to be paid, the back rent for 3 years has to be paid to Shimon. Now, it is true that they can then go and get it back from Reuben, but that's going to involve going to a din Torah. Reuben may not have the money on hand, whatever, so it's very much negev edus. But they would rather say the rent that we already paid to Reuben all this time is valid rent. They're negev edus. And therefore, what can we do with their edus? Right. Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers, Daini Deshvili Hachi Daini. You know what? It would be low down Dayanim, it would be irresponsible Dayanim who would accept such edus if they already paid the rent. Obviously, Robert is not talking about, we're saying that these guys have already paid the rent for the past 3 years and now we're bringing them as edus. Of course not. The case that Rava is talking about, where he says that the tenants can be edim, has to be talking about that they are now holding the rent for they have the money in hand. They have a check already to be filled out. All they need to know is who to write it out to. The Amri Laman Leisve, and now they're coming and saying, who should we be giving it to? Reuven or Shimon? Well, then they're not negev edus, regardless whether. So then they're not losing anything. They're not asking who should we give it to. They're saying we're going to come and give edus that we rented this place from Reuven, and therefore based on our edus, Reuven should have a chazakah and we should be paying it to him. However, if for whatever reason you find that his chazakah is no good or whatever, fine, then we'll pay it to Shimon.
And we don't lose out
either way. We're not negev edus. We have no vested interest.
They're paying the rent a year after they live there or whatever.
The Ravid brings up a point over here that maybe you have to be talking about that there's a shtar that they owe that money. Otherwise, how is there any evidence that they owe it to Klal? Okay.
At least the receipt, the shipment.
Okay. All right.
What's the conclusion?
Well, that's the point. So far, based on this discussion, it sounds like we have two different possibilities. We have a buyer that neighbors will come and give edus. We have Rava that you can have a case, again, the way we just explained it, you can have a case where the tenants can give edus. Now, Omer Mazutra says, now, the Rashbam explains that this, the Rashbam and a couple of other Rishonim explain that this next statement that we're going to have is going back to, is not referring back to the immediate things that we just had before, Abayas and Rava's explanations of how you do Cheskas Abatim, but rather it's referring back to this business about that we were saying, this business that you were saying that ordinarily normally Edim only come and testify that he was there by day. So, Mazutra Omar Mazutra, the Itoyin V'Omar, in other words, so Rashbam says like this, we're saying it's true, Rav Huna is saying, and Abaya and Rava also agree, that you do need the 3 years to be consecutive. However, normally, the Rashbam explains, you don't normally need Edim to literally come and say that. We saw him in this house by day and by night. Usually, if the Edim just come and say, we saw this guy living here for 3 years, that will be good enough. So now Mazutra comes and says, the E toyin v'omar. only if the ma'arer is going to specifically claim leisut shrei sadi la'asudu le'dorbe plus chini v'yomo v'leoya, only if the ma'arer is going to specifically say, I want edim that he lived there by day and by night, tam nase taina. Only then is that a valid taina. And it was by default, if the ma'arer himself doesn't think of that idea and the ma'asik is able to just bring edim that he was there during the days, that's good enough. Only if the ma'arer specifically says, no, you know what, fine, you were there by days. Maybe you were there by days when I was out at work and then you left at night when I came home. I want edim, you were there by day and by night. That is when we're going to have to go back to what Abaya and Rava are saying, that you're going to need somehow edim that you were actually there by day and by night. But otherwise not.
Right, the trick is, you were just there on Thursday and you brought edim on Thursday, the one day you were there. You knew I was going to be on a vacation then.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's the point. Someone could claim that. No, I am. But when did you see him on Thursday? I was on vacation then. Yeah, that's exactly when.
Tanote Taina means, in other words, that Mazutra is saying this that we're saying that you're going to need Aiden to be able to substantiate that he was there by night. That's only going to be the case if the Ma'arer himself comes up with that claim.
Right.
Otherwise, we, based on, are not going to make that claim on that on his behalf. If the Machzik brings Edim, then he was there during the days, we're not going to tell the Ma'arer, but you know what, you should be asking, what about the night? Mm-hmm. Only if he himself comes up with that, then he has a valid taina, and then we need to bring Edim to that effect.
No, it's not standard procedure.
Right, it's not standard.
He was there every night for 3 years.
That's what we said. Either you have the neighbors or we have the tenants. It doesn't literally. Even when we say, in other words, the neighbors don't know if you left at 12
exactly.
midnight, right? But in other words, as long as they see that you were there, any time they looked, you were there by night, then that's good enough for us.
Most of the time.
Yeah, whatever. At normal times when you would look whether somebody is there by night.
Your tenants know.
Look, I mean, obviously you can make chazaka on a place even if you went on vacation for a week, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about that you use it in the normal way that a person uses their house. However, Mazutra will agree that this that he's saying, again, according to the Rashbam's explanation, we'll talk in a minute about other explanations, this that Mazutra is saying, that we won't volunteer, Basin will not volunteer on the Ma'ara's behalf, you know, you should be asking whether the guy was there by night. Mazutra will admit that it's different if the Ma'ara is a roichel, if he's a peddler, ha-machzirin ba'yoris, who travel around in different towns. So therefore, in other words, so he only comes to town once in a great while. So therefore, Mela, in other words, a regular case where a person is in town, Mazutra will be moida, then that Bastin should argue on his behalf. Again, the Ma'arer is coming and saying, this is my house, this guy has been squatting there illegally. I want Adim that he was there. The guy brings Adim, he was there by day. If the Ma'arer doesn't say anything further, Mazutra is saying, then fine, we accept that Adim, that's it, he has a chazaka. Only if the Ma'arer comes up on his own and says, wait a minute, what about the night? Then we will. Mazutra is going to say, however, if he's a roichel, the rules are different. Because a roichel is away from town so often, then it may very well be somebody else is machzik in his house while he was away, and therefore he may not even have known that the guy is in his house b'chlal. Therefore, he was never moicha. Now, therefore, we based in, I'm going to say on this roichel's behalf, you, machzik, who have been living in this house that previously roichel has a chesed marakama on, do you have proof that you were there days and nights as well, even if the roichel himself doesn't think of it?
He's married and his wife was there. And he was turning around.
Right. Obviously, if his wife was there, that's different. We're talking about if he lives alone or whatever. Yeah. So the Afgab de Latan Tanin Alayanam. So even though he himself is not Toyin, that we need to substantiate that you were there during the night, we based in will argue on his behalf. There's a lot of other explanations among Rishonim about these last couple of lines over here of Mazutra's statement and what Mazutra is moida on, plus there's also other Gersais, whether it's Mazutra or somebody else who's moida. Among other things is, when we say Reichon HaMachzirin Bayores, there's a different explanation that Rambam brings it, for example, that no, what it means is if the Machzik is a Reichon HaMachzir Bayores, where he's not necessarily there all the time, then we need real proof that he was actually using the house, the way that he was actually properly mastic in it. Otherwise, we would assume that no, he's a roichel. He's traveling around a lot. He's not necessarily he didn't necessarily make a valid chazaka. Therefore, we're going to need some kind of strong proof. For example, we're going to have to use Rava's idea that he rented it out to people who lived there by day and by night. And we're gonna have to work on that. Basically.
Why can't that person's house be considered like a sebes habal? He's only there 3 months a year.
Because
so make a chazaka for those 3 months or whatnot.
Because
he's
a house
that he would live in.
Because a house, even if you're a house, isn't something a sada bes habal by the nature of it is not made to be used more than a certain number of months of the year.
Because it's
very
based on the owner.
A house by its very nature is made to be used 365 days a year. This particular person.
Trump doesn't live in his house.
That's not the point, though.
Like
the point is,
365 days a year.
Once he establishes a chazaka on it, so fine, he has a shtar there. Yeah, he'll have a shtar. Yeah. Yeah. If you have a shtar, all this doesn't come into the picture. Yeah.
His name's on the building.
Okay. Come on. No. Okay. Yeah. Okay, come on, guys. Okay. Anyway. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel a different explanation of Mazutra's statement also. We said before that Ashbam explains Mazutra's statement to be independent of what Rava and Abaya were saying about tenants and whatever. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel that actually it's a continuation. Rabbi Yema had asked the question, aren't these tenants negev be'edus? How can we accept their edus? So Mazutra, according to that, is saying that If the machzik were to say, fine, let's have two edim that lived here for 3 years, they paid me rent at the time, now they moved out, and therefore they're not, then that would be a valid possibility also. That then they're not negei be'edus anymore. Because they already paid the rent. It's a done deal already. It's not like we're going to have any way of collecting the back rent from them, of somebody else collecting the back rent from them.
Then what?
So that works. In other words, and then Tosfos says, if we learn it that way, then it's not umoyd mazutra, then it's umoyd rava. That even rava who's saying that you need 3 years be imam of alelia, that's fakech. If it's a roichel, a machazer bayoris, if it's somebody who travels around a lot, then even if he's not there 3 years by day and by night, it's good enough because he used it to the extent that he could. He's traveling as a roichel. He himself is traveling around. You can't expect him to do more than that. Okay, again, there's several other possibilities that Rishonim bring up to understand these couple of lines of Gemara. On the other hand, Rav Huna, who said that you need 3 consecutive years, will agree that when it comes to to the stores of Mechuzah, Diliyamama Avida, the Leil Yalai Avida, which are only generally used by day, that you use them like a modern day store. You sell in it by day and then you close up at night. Leil Yalai Avida, they're not made to be used at night. So Rav Huna will agree that the same idea, then you don't need consecutive chazaka. Therefore, if, as long as you have proof that you used it every day for 3 years, then you're good.
Well,
it would be similar to say Beit Abal in that sense. Obviously not on Shabbos also, right. There also, by the way, you have a similar machlokas Rishonim to what we talk about on Amud Aleph with the field Demovri Buggy, where you leave it fallow every other year. Here you have a similar machlokas whether you need 6 years or 3 years. Again, the Rishonim have a similar argument. The Mordechai comes up with an interesting svara, an interesting compromise, which the Ramah accepts. He says it depends. If the place was originally a store to begin with, then all you need is 3 years. If it was a house that was turned into a store, and therefore now you're changing it from use by day and by night to use only by day, then you need 6 years.
I mean, there's no greater chazaka. There's no greater show of bailos than changing the function of a home to a store. I mean, the svar l'chayer should remain the same. The man should have been meicha.
No,
because if someone turns your home into a store, you're definitely going to be meicha. Why would one
first
have
of all,
to
you
wait 3-6 years?
Because you could still argue. Look, I saw the guy is not using it for 3-4 years. I didn't take him seriously. Whatever. I have proof that he doesn't own it. That I just rented it to him. Whatever, you know.
Yeah. And you could reverse the argument and say, you know what? The fact is, maybe he converted it to a store just because he wanted to try and fool someone with a chazaka.
Who knows?
Do you have any insights on why it brings the stories of Mechuzah?
Because apparently Mechuzah was unique in that regard, that they only use their stores. But in most other places, I guess their stores doubled as houses.
Okay, Mechuzah was a rich place.
Yeah.
Oh, They had real stores.
Right. Okay. Here's a case. Rami Bachama and Rav Ukva Bachama, Zobin Hahi Amsa Bahadi Adodi. These two brothers, Rami Bachama and Rav Ukva Bachama, bought a maidservant, a Shivcha Knanis, in partnership. The one of them used her for the first year, the third year, and the fifth year. The other one for the second, fourth, and sixth year. Neither they arranged to begin with that they're going to alternate in years like that. This way, neither of them is going to end up having a chazaka for three consecutive years, where then he could end up falsely claiming that he fully owns it. Not so much they didn't trust themselves. They didn't trust themselves is more to the point. You don't try. You know what's the loss, and you know. Atam and Basmachad Yom Moisach, right? So, Basmachad. So neither one themselves wanted to hold it. Wanted to hold on to her for. Yeah. Okay. Now, Tosfos points out that really they shouldn't have needed that anyway. There's a din. We'll learn later on in the Perek that anyway, if you buy land in partnership, you don't have a chazaka against each other, for example. Tosfos brings from Rashi, apparently there were scraps of Rashi left on our part over here, that he explains that they didn't have edim for the shutvus. And then Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe it's just they didn't want to forget that they were shutvim. They didn't want to forget that they're partners, and therefore, if they alternate every year, then that'll remind them that there really is a shutvus over here.
To that end, if you could justify why it wasn't Maisa, ultimately, this Cheskek Yom Hashanah isn't a dogmatic.
No, of course not.
Like we said, it's Cheskek Shein Matayna.
Yeah.
If I could justify why it wasn't Maisa for a partnership,
we're going to have examples later. We're going to have examples later. For example, the guy was out of town or whatever. Yeah, relax. Nofak Arari Lavah. In the end, after 6 years, there was an error. Somebody claimed that it wasn't a valid sale, and this shivcha really belongs to him. Also, the Kamei Rava. So they came for a din Torah to Rava. Amalahu, he says, look, my time of disuachi. You have to consider why, after all, did you guys lachatchila make this arrangement between yourselves? Kiyechad leitechsek ha'adadi, because you didn't want to be able to falsely claim a chazaka against each other, or forget that there was a shut first or whatever.
And we say it has to be continuous.
That's the point. Therefore, you.
So they broke their own chazaka.
That's the point. He's saying you didn't even make. You made it deliberately that you don't have a chazaka against each other.
Neither.
Well, therefore, ki heichid l'itchulei have a chazaka. Therefore, since it's not a chazaka between one of you and the other, la almanami la have a chazaka. It can't be considered a chazaka relative to the outside world either. Yeah. So therefore, the other guy has a valid point. He has an error, and unless you have a shtar, you guys are out of luck. However, the Gemara says, all of this only applies, though, if there was not a shtar chalukka written. An itra is a shtar chalukka, where they drew a shtar with edim. That, we're making this official. Each of us is having her for 1 year. Abba, cost of itra, but if they had an itra, kala islay. Then it has a curl.
Right.
The Rashbam brings two possibilities. One is that it's
still a chazaka.
Yes, but and the Rashbam talks
still not continuous even with a shtar.
Doesn't matter. Once they have a shtar, then so the Rashbam brings two possibilities. One of them is as soon as the shtar is written, a curl comes out because when the shtar is written, there's a curl. Therefore, we should expect the other guy should have been moicha at all. Would have been moicha immediately, and if he, assuming that he was in town, of course.
Right.
And if he didn't, then he lost his rights, and you don't even need chazaka of 3 years.
Right.
The Rashbam says I don't like that. I don't like that explanation. You still do need 3 years. You still do need 3 years. You don't need 6 years. Three years would be enough because it does the fact that you have a shtar. Two people can combine together under one shtar. We'll learn that later on in the Perek. But nevertheless, you do need 3 years. You can't say because you still have the usual rule that the guy can say during the first 3 years, I didn't take it seriously and I wasn't.
Join each other and say that's it. We alternated and.
So we'll have an example later on in the Perek where you have one person bought it from another, whatever, within the 3 years.
But why do we need to say that when we said previously it has to be continuous? And obviously, if you alternate, then you don't fulfill this condition.
But that's the thing. If you have a shtar chalukah, that shtar chalukah establishes that that's the point. In other words, that because the shtar demonstrates that we had a partnership over here. Therefore, the years done by each of the partners count towards the 3 years. If there was no shtar, then yeah, we could say neither one ever established a chazaka on their own, therefore the
so
two of them joined.
How many years do you need when you have
3 years.
Halukha.
If you have a shtar halukha, all you need is 3 years.
Sorry, There's only a curl. There isn't a curl that there's a receipt on the evidence itself. There's only there's only a star written when they divide their own partnership.
Yeah, not necessarily as an Eved. An Eved can be bought with a shtar. It doesn't have to be. Can the Eved nikna be kept for shtar of a chazaka?
It may have said, instead of Yitzra, a shtar mechira.
If there was a shtar mechira, and you can prove, fine. If you can bring out a shtar mechira that the other guy sold it to you, and there's edim on it, of course, we're going to talk about later, you need to be mechayim the shtar, but we're trying to say there's no shtar mechira, that's the whole point.
The second Yitzra of the Rashba is that...
Not the Rashba, the Rashbam.
The Rashbam, I was reading it.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that since they've written this...
shtar. Yeah.
It's going to be considered like a chazaka.
So now their two, three years can be considered like chazaka.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
As opposed to, again, the Rashbam's first explanation, which he rejects, is that you can have a chazaka even in less than 3 years, because as soon as an itra is written, there's a kol. But that's the point. The shtar makes it that now these two people can combine together. It's not such a big chiddush. Okay.
Shtar is stronger than
chazaka. Not shtar is stronger than chazaka. The fact that there's a shtar chaluka shows it means that therefore you don't have the ability to say now, well, I saw that Rami used it 1 year, or Ukva used it the next year, so I didn't bother being moicha. No, you should know that there's a shtar out there. The shtar has a curl, and therefore that it means you have to treat Rami and Rav Ukva as if they're one person. 3 years, chazaka. You weren't moicha. Tough luck. Amar Rava, another din. Ocha kula chutz mibeis roiva. What happens if you consumed the produce of the entire field except for one base roiva? A base roiva is an area where you can plant a quarter of a cab. It's in area, it's about 100 square amas, about 10 by, a little more than 10 by 10 amas. Well then, when it comes to the chazaka of 3 years, he has chazaka on the whole field except for that base roiva. The other guy, in other words, has the ability to say, you, by not working that corner of the field, demonstrated that you don't really consider it yours, therefore you don't have a chazaka on it.
And if they have a shtar chaluka on this corner?
If they have a shtar mechira, there's nothing to talk about. Shtar chaluka, who is he dividing with? We're talking about he himself claims to have bought the field. He himself claims to have bought this field.
Right.
But now we have Edim, that for those entire 3 years, he was using it all except for that one area of base roiva. Now, we have to clarify, by the way, you were talking before about the chazaka that is a method of kinyan. For chazaka that's a method of kinyan, you don't need that. You're machzik in one part of the field, you do nah, gadar, or paras, or whatever it is, or in one part of the field, sure, you're kinyan the whole thing. We're talking about over here the chazaka of 3 years. The chazkas raya is called, yeah. Now, that only applies if this particular base roiva is capable of being planted. New, the Ma'ara says, you should have planted it. You didn't. Obviously, you yourself don't know deep down that it's not yours. However, but if that particular area is not capable of being planted anywhere, fine, he's koneh agav land. However, no. Maskiflor of Bibi Barabai, or Bibi Barabai asks on that. Why? Elameata, Sunma Bame Yikna. If you're going to say that it depends on planting, then you have to ask, what if you buy rocky ground from somebody else, a place that's a slab of rock, it's not plantable? Bame Yikna, how are you supposed to establish a chazaka in it? Ella, obviously it must be, but ukmi bacha chevasa umishtachaba peda. You must use it for other purposes that such land can be used for. Have your animals stay there, you spread out fruit to dry. Hochanami, the same thing with this base driver over here. Fine, the base driver is rocky, you couldn't have planted it. Ibarilele ukmi bacha chevasa uinami mishtachaba peda. He should have put his animals there, he should have spread out fruit over there, he should have done something to demonstrate his bilos over that base driver. He didn't. Then it shows that he didn't, his chazaka does not extend to that base roiva. And the other guy has a valid claim to say that I never sold you, that I sold you everything except that base roiva.
Seems like we're going back to the choice of wording here is almost like he's referring to the Kenyan itself.
No, but that doesn't mean the actual... It means the Cheskes Raya. It means Gimel Shonim, yes. Okay. Here's a case. Havudu Amalei L'chabre. One person one time says to another, my boys, my base, what are you doing in this house? Amalei, so he says, we're going to have, by the way, from here for the next 4 or 5 block, we're going to have case after case of different. Basically, many of these cases are going to deal with chazaka. A couple of them are going to deal with other cases of Toyin Benitza. And basically these next few blocks are going to be a review of Rambam Hilchos Toyin Benitza in that sense. Okay, so My boy is Baha'i Beisa. He says to the other, what are you doing in this house? Amalei, the guy says, what's the problem? I bought it from you. And I've been using this house for the years of Chazaka. Amalei, the other guy answers him, yes, but I'm not b'shchune gavoy, haboy. However, I was in the inner residence. Now, the Rashbam holds, which pretty much all the other Rishonim disagree with him for reasons that we'll talk about soon, but let's start with the Rashbam, that Shchuni Gavoy means, the Tosfos also learns this way, that Shchuni Gavoy means there are inner rooms in this house, or in this property or whatever. I was living in them all these years. And whenever I was going in and out, I was passing through the area which you're claiming is the part that you bought. Therefore, in other words, I've been passing through your area. The Rashbam even uses the expression "mishtamashim chavayis achitz," and I've been using the outer areas together with you. So therefore, I figured, look, fine. I'm letting you squat there. I never was moicha because I have the real title for the place. I'm living b'shchuni gavoy, and I keep on passing through. Also, the kamei de Rav Nachman. So they came. They brought the din Torah to Rav Nachman. Amalei. And Rav Nachman says to the machzik, the one who claims that he owns the outer area, zil brer achiloscha, very well, go clarify your consumption, your eating. In other words, you have to bring edim that you were living in this house for 3 years without that other guy passing through.
That's a valid
taina. In other words, Tosfos adds, according to the shita, we do have to be talking about that those inner rooms have other ways of getting out. They have other exits as well. So conceivably, the guy could have been using the other exit. In other words, Tosfos says if there were no edim that the guy was ever living b'shchuni gavoy, of course he doesn't have a claim. Of course he doesn't have a claim. But if there were edim that he was living b'shchuni gavoy, but those edim can't be sure whether he was going through the outer rooms or whether he was going out some other exit. B'shchuni gavoy means the inner room. The inner rooms further away from the streets, in other words.
Okay, so like you've got a house here on Empire, and you've got the main entrance, and then you've got a side entrance.
So that's the point, in other words. So that all that is according to the Rashbam and Tosfos. Many other Rishonim have a problem with that because they say, why should the other guy passing through, why should the fact that there's an easement over there, why should that be mevassal his chazaka? So therefore, so pretty much all the other Rishonim explain, rather, that Shchuni Gavoy means he's saying I was out of town. Shchuni Gavoy, therefore, literally means a place, it literally means an inner place. But that Ramban actually has an interesting take on it. He says, we learned in the previous paragraph. The inner city, yeah. No, the Rashbam, not the Rashbam, the Ramban has an interesting take on it. We learned in the previous perek, we talked about Olam L'Achsadra Hujayma, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the world is shaped like an Achsadra V'ruach Tzvonis Enim V'Zubevis. The north side is not fenced in, whatever that meant, we said over there. So therefore, it comes out, the north can be considered the outer area, it's like the outer limits. The south, therefore, which is the most closed in, can be considered the inner area. The guy's saying, I was down south. Now, what does that mean exactly? So within that, you have a couple of different variations.
That's in the Tennessee, I think. Yeah. Cologne.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were asking, what does that mean?
So within that, there's a couple of different variations that Rishonim talk about. The guy can be saying that at the time when you claim you bought this property from me, I was out of town. How can you possibly have bought it from me? And therefore, Rav Nachman is telling him, fine, you have to clarify, you have to bring edim that he was in fact in town on that day. That's how the Rambam learns, for example. Or, for example, another possibility is the guy can be saying, I was in those Shchuni Gavoy, I was in those southern areas or whatever it is, all these 3 years, therefore I didn't even know you were here, and therefore I wasn't Meicha. And therefore, Rav Nachman, would be telling him, fine, you have to bring proof that the guy was in town at some point or that he had some way of knowing.
So the underlying mistake here is if easement is considered, does it ruin the...
Does it ruin the Chazaka? Exactly, right.
I guess the Rashbam believes that the easement would specifically ruin title.
Right.
And the other Rishonim would say,
indeed.
He granted any, right. Legally, if you have a landlocked piece of land, you have to legally have an easement.
Okay. All right. Amalei Rava, so Rava asks him, Hochi Dina, why is that the din? Hamotzi Machaveh Olam Ravaya. Shouldn't this other guy, the Lakeah has a chazaka, the Ma'ara should have to be bringing a raya that he was living in those inner rooms or that he was out or that he was down south or whatever all those years. Okay, the Gemara says, the Rava the in that case, given that we have this argument that Rav Nachman is saying that the Muchzik has to bring the Raya, and Rava is arguing back that the Ma'ara should have to bring the Raya, we can find a contradiction between something that Rava says from another case that Rava says differently, and also from Nachman. They seem to flip around their opinions in a different case.
Isn't the whole point of Kasper Kumashanim to establish who the Maisi and who the Masik is?
No, but the fact is, right, well, that's the point, in other words. That's the point, in other words. The Lekeach at this point has a Chazakah. We know for a fact. We know for a fact he's been living in this house in these outer rooms for 3 years. The question is whether this other guy who has Adim that he's been living in the inner room, does he have evidence that he's actually been passing through, that he's had this easement according to the Rashbam, or that he hasn't even been in town according to the other Rishonim? You have a chazaka and you have a taina with it.
Yeah.
If the other guy wants to break your chazaka, he has to bring this. What are you telling the muhtak zilber, the machtik rather, zilber rachiloska, the burden of proof is on you. At this point, he has a chazaka of 3 years. The burden of proof should be on the other guy.
Isn't that the halacha that any the subject matter here is the chazaka itself. You have no taina here. Why?
I have a taina. I bought it from you.
So suffix should be automatically after 3 years go to the.
That's the whole point of a chazaka, right? Is that now I'm the muhtak. I'm the one who doesn't. What? Yeah, he's a win. Now, you lived here all these years. He's just arguing that I had a
Okay.
What's the question?
So he's establishing that. Well, in every case, he's going to be the muhtak, even after 1 year. He's the muhtak.
No, but to be chazaka, for sure, it has to be 3 years, and he has to have Adim that he was living there 3 years. He has all that.
So that's unquestioned.
But Rav Nachman is telling him, you have to go and bring Adim that, in fact, there was no easement, or that the guy was in town and validly sold it to you. Why? I have a chazaka, I have a taina, I have Adim for this chazaka. As the Rav is asking, I'm going to say, so now we have a contradiction.
The chazaka means you have to prove against him.
Yes. You
have
to.
You want to take away from him. You have to come with a proof.
Okay. So v'romi d'rava, d'rava v'romi d'rav Nachman and d'rav Nachman. So now we can find a contradiction between two statements of Rava and between two statements of Rav Nachman. We have another case where Rava and Rav Nachman are arguing the other way around. Dahu d'amalei l'chavrei. Namely, you have a case like this. A person, one person says to another, kol nichse debei bar sisin mizabina loch. All of the property of Bar Sisin, of the family of Bar Sisin, all of the property which I previously bought from Bar Sisin, Mizabinaloch, I am going to sell to you. Now, Havoi Hahiara, to have a Mikri Devei Bar Sisin, now he had one particular property among all his properties, which was called the property of Devei Bar Sisin, but it wasn't clear, is it that he actually bought it from Bar Sisin and therefore it's called that, or is it just somehow it got that name?
Omalei
holav Devei Bar Sisin. So the Moicher says to Lekeach, this particular piece of land, even though it's called Devei Bar Sisin, is not in fact from Bar Sisin originally. It has that name. Yeah, it's a licensing thing, yeah, whatever. So therefore I don't have to sell it to you. This is property I inherited from my ancestors. I never bought it from Bar Sisin. It's not included in the purchase. Also, the Kamei de Rav Nachman, Ukma b'yadu de Lekeach. So they came for a dinter to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman decided that the Lekeach is entitled to that property. The Moicher, if he wants to say that property is not included and he should be able to keep it, the Moicher is going to have to bring the proof that it wasn't from Bar Sisin. And again, if he can bring a proof, sure. If he can bring a proof that he inherited it from his ancestors, fine. That's a valid proof.
Oh, so
but until he brings that proof,
the answer is not like it says Bar Sisin on.
No. He's going to have to bring a proof. Yeah.
Keep it no matter what.
Yeah.
You've got to bring a proof now. So he can come and bring a star that I bought this from someone else.
From someone else. He can bring Adim. He can bring Adim that it belonged to his ancestors, whatever. That's the point, in other words. So again, Rava asks the same question. What happened to Hamoitzim Chavela Varaya? The Lekeach should have to be the one bringing the proof over here. So therefore, Kasha the Rava, the Rava, Kasha the Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman. So now we have a contradiction between Rava and Rava. Before Rav Nachman, in the earlier case about the Bishchuni Gavoi, Rav Nachman is saying that the Moicher gets to keep it unless the Lekeach brings proof that unless he clarifies that his Chazaka was a valid Chazaka. Here we're saying the other way around, the Lekeach gets to keep it, and here Rava and here Rav Nachman and Rava is arguing the reverse in both cases.
Are we supposed to write
that? No, these aren't brachos. No. The answer is no. Did Rav Nachman add Rav Nachman? No. The answer is derava ad derava loikasha. No, there's no contradiction between the two statements of between the two questions of Rava. He's always going to say the muchzik has it. The difference is hasam moicha koy benichse, because the difference is that Rava figure is Rava in our case of nichse debei bar sisin. The moicher is the one currently in possession of it. He's the one currently in possession of this property. You want to prove that it should be taken away from him. In the case of Bishchuni Gavoi, the previous case of Chazaka, the Lekeach is the one who has evidence that he's been there all these years. Therefore, Rava figures he's a Mokseh. So no contradiction. There's also no contradiction between the two positions of Rav Nachman in the two cases, because in the case of the Beibar Sisin, it's like this. Given to Omele de Beibar Sisin, or Mikriya de Beibar Sisin, since he told him, I'm selling you all the property that I bought from Bar Sisin, and this particular property is called de Beibar Sisin, Aleji de Ramila Galuy, then it's his responsibility to prove de Lav de Beibar Sisin. You want to claim against the known name, that this is de Beibar Sisin, that did not in fact come from Bar Sisin, prove it.
It's also trickery. He has many properties called Beibar Sisin. He's going to say half of them are Beibar Sisin, half of them.
Maybe not. Okay, but whatever. You want to claim against the fact that everybody that Kulei Alma call it Beibar Sisin. Bapashtus, why is it called that? Because Bar Sisin. Because once upon a time Bar Sisin owned it. You want to say not? You got to bring a proof. On the other hand, Abel Hocha, but in the case of the Chazaka, in the case of the Shchuni Gavoi, look, Lo Yehei Ela Denaket Shtara. Fine. It can't be any different than the case if the guy actually had a shtar. The whole point is we're establishing a chazaka stands in place of a shtar. So look, suppose he had a shtar. Wouldn't we tell him, very nice, you have a shtar, but the other guy wants to claim it's a forged shtar or what have you. You have to milkayim your shtar, bring edim to substantiate that it's in fact a valid shtar, and then you'll be able to stay in the property. Same idea over here. Fine, you have a chazaka which stands in place of a shtar. We still need to clarify that chazaka is a valid chazaka. If not, then just the fact that you have a chazaka by itself is not enough, because the chazaka itself may have a weakness to it, just like the shtar may have a weakness to it.
So the chesed gimel shanim, ultimately, if you had a shtar, it would be much better.
Of course, if you have a shtar, it would be much better, right. But we can't assume that people are going to keep their shtaras forever.
They can always come with an irurim on your chazakas and whatnot.
Yeah, there is that. Well, a shtar, they can also come with an irurim, they can always claim, yeah.
If you ever move the bubble, always keep your
Rashbam finishes off, by the way, that in both these cases the halacha is like Rav Nachman. First of all, usually the halacha is like Rav Nachman and Dini Mominus. But second of all, there's a rule that says ein halacha k'talmid b'makom harav. When you have a talmid here, Rava, the talmid of Rav Nachman, arguing, how can you be saying that? Hamotz mechavel avanaya. You can't say. I mean, he's asking, but still, Rav Nachman has his position, and his position is valid, and therefore that one becomes the halacha. Not really a chutzpah. The halacha still has to be clarified, but you can't say the halacha should be like Rava in his objection against Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman understands Rava's objection, but he rejects it because of the reasons that we said. Because when it comes to Bar Sisin, you should be the one who has to bring the proof against what everybody knows that it's called the Bar Sisin. And in the other case,
was a direct student
of Rav Nachman. Yeah.
And was he also a student of Rabbi Yehuda?
Rava was a student of Rabbi Yehuda, I think, yes.
And, okay.
Yeah, also of Rav Chista, you know.
But mostly of...
Many times in Shas, we find Rava together with Rav Nachman. He may well have been a Rabbi Mulchak, I don't know. You find Rava also with Yosef. You find, he learned by all
because
the Gerlai Adar.
They're in two different cities at the time.
So, have you go to the Lamachan Torah?
They're very close, actually.
So Rav Nachman lived in Mechuzah, Taka, and so did Rava, so that may have been why he learned mostly by him.
But Mechuzah is only after Abayah.
No. Rava lived there his whole life. After Abaya passed away, Rava took the yeshiva from Pedissa and moved it to Mechuzah.
Okay.
But he lived in Mechuzah.
But he lived in Mechuzah before.
Was he rich? He lived in Mechuzah. He learned in Pumbedisa and in Nahadah. He did.
He did not Nahadah. Then the yeshiva of Nahadah didn't really exist in his time.
So how did he learn from Rav Nachman?
He learned from who says Rav Nachman? Where do you get that Rav Nachman was in that? Rav Nachman did live in that. That's true. Rav Nachman did live in Nahadah. He wasn't in Mechuzah. I'm mistaken about that. No. Never mind that.
Rav was in Mechuzah.
No, you're right. Rav Nachman lived in Nahadah. Right. Okay.
He was
the son-in-law of Rav Chisdei. So he also learned in Surah by Rav Chisdei. Yeah.
Rava.
Yeah.
And